afternoon. Welcome to Windows on the World. Mark Windows here from the UK. And yes, we're in the last throes of summer. Our last show on Sunday, I don't know whether you tuned into it, dear listener, but I'm on RBN now, Tuesdays and Thursdays. I've cut down a bit because I have such a lot of information I want to bring to you. But our show on Sunday night, we do a show on Sunday night, which will be 3:30 Central Time, which is 9:30 p.m. in the UK. And it's at windowsontheworld.net. But the reason I'm telling you all this is we did a show called Rats That Ruled the World. Short for Technorats, obviously. But COVID-19, we revealed in that show, and we've revealed it before, is a business plan for the world, a driver of change for the new global health and security system. So, just to give you a few quotes from Klaus Schwab, who started the World Economic Forum, I think in the early 70s, on the Great Reset broadcast. I'm going to give you some quotes here, and this might give you something to think about. According to Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, the effect of the socially engineered crisis of COVID-19 will be similar to a world war. These are his quotes. This is exactly what he said in opening for the World Economic Forum. But this, in effect, basically, what we're talking about is a group of technocrats and bankers who are implementing global governance under the World Bank and the IMF. He said 50% of the world population will be affected by COVID-19. So the drivers of the fourth industrial revolution, the World Economic Forum, also state that the next crisis is already waiting for us. So we're going to go from crisis to crisis. This will, of course, be mainly the continuation of that other driver of change, yes, climate change. These are drivers of global governance. So pandemics and climate change are drivers of global governance. We're saving the world. Do you feel good about that? But who are we saving the world for? Yes, you got it, the World Bank. The decarbonisation of the planet is about control and management of population and the destruction of all corporations whose stakeholders are not agents of the new system. Now, the World Economic Forum, in their literature and their latest paper, which is all about the Great Reset, are saying basically that people who do not get up to speed with doing everything online and are monitored in real time will be left behind. In other words, they will not be able to allow, they won't be allowed to continue. So the end of all travel and free movement is another thing that they're talking about. The global health security, which will define your universal credit and indeed lifespan. COVID drives the new global security system, surveillance and online economy. Let's talk about the future of energy. Let's see what he said about that, Klaus Schwab, the leader, basically, the instigator of the World Economic Forum. He said everything which can be digitalized should be digitalized. So everything which can be digitalized should be digitalized. Now, I do make a point here that not everything works very well digitally. I'm a great fan of analog because digital pulses just die away, but analog stays and resonates. Have a think about that. Decarbonize the economy, he says, to protect us from environmental virus. That's Klaus Schwab. The World Economic Forum state that we must redefine our social contract. Have you got a social contract? Well, you have now, you know. It's implied. It's under the great big globalist communitarian technocratic system. It is implied that you are a person with duties and liabilities, and you have a social contract, basically for the profit and control of technocrats, most of whom are unknown to 99% of the population. So if you go to the World Economic Forum and have a look who they have in their organization, you will not have heard of any of them. But they then talk about the future of energy. Now, this is interesting. We're going to talk about the future of energy, but just to finish this section off, the nations, it says, will all fall into line. They will all fall into line because no one's going to be left behind. Now, you've got to remember also that the World Economic Forum and these globalist institutions are training the future leaders, just like the UN train their very own change agents. And as the UN say, no one will be left behind. Let's have a look at the Young Leaders Program of the World Economic Forum. It states COVID-19 has highlighted the fact that our previous systems were neither equitable nor sustainable. Now, who put that into their highly inactive and minuscule brains? Because these people haven't got a functioning brain cell of their own, remember. These are chosen. These drones are chosen. Because the whole point of the education system was to make them compliant and push them into the 17 goals of sustainable development, which basically means a technocratic governance system. And they all think it's about ecology. But they will find out the bad news, but not just yet. But it says, the crisis also presented, this is COVID-19, the crisis also presented an opportunity to reset and work towards, wait for it, you guessed it, a greener future. This means fake green for the monitoring and control of all. They carried on. In a few years, non-digital business will simply not exist. That is a quote from the World Economic Forum. In a few years, non-digital business will simply not exist. That's from their paper called Digital Transformation. Again, saving the world for the World Bank. But let's have a look at the World Economic Forum Future of Energy. I was just sent this today, actually. It's worth getting on their mailing list. Go to WE Forum and get on their Strategic Intelligence mailing list. You'll get the bad news every few days. It says energy consumption and production account for about two-thirds of global greenhouse gas emissions. Yes, we're going to be back to climate change before you know it. As COVID dries up, they're going to be hammering us again. Greta Thunberg is going to come out of retirement. Yes, it says 81% of the global energy mix is still based on fossil fuels. And of course, the Climate-Related Disclosures Fund. Any stakeholders which aren't stakeholders in the new global governance system will all be gone. They're clearly telling us that. A percentage that has not budged in decades, 81% of the global energy mix is still based on fossil fuels. A transition to a more inclusive, sustainable, affordable and secure global energy system is imperative. This must be done while balancing the energy triangle, security and access, environmental sustainability and economic development. And it must now be done in the context of, wait for it, you guessed it, yeah, COVID-19's significant impact on the energy system. Related public policy and private industry responses may affect supply and demand, as well as the speed and shape of the energy transition to, yes, a zero carbon emissions future for years to come. So, we have done quite a lot of shows on this new global health security system, and that is exactly what COVID-19 is the cover for. Problem we've got in the UK, and I think in many parts of the world, is that a lot of people walking around in masks and watching the television set or their computer screens are actually believing that this is all about a virus. Well, it's all about a virus, but it's not a virus in the sense that most people understand it, because for one, it's never actually been isolated and purified, that's COVID-19, and two, it's actually a mind virus, nothing physical at all. But we've got a guest today. We have Chris Powis from Hertfordshire. And we're going to be talking a little bit about a big story in the UK at the moment. The UK's hotels are hosting asylum seekers, basically economic migrants. And it's being covered up, guess by whom? Well, British government. But let's first of all read the UN Migration Compact. The UN Migration Compact is really what this is all about. Sustainable development. Yes, exactly what the World Economic Forum are talking about. The Global Compact is rooted in the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and builds upon its recognition that migration is a multidimensional reality. Wait a minute. So these people are multidimensional. These people who are coming to the UK across from France in rubber dinghies are multidimensional, are they? Okay, so migration is a multidimensional reality of major relevance for the sustainable development of countries of origin, transit and destination. Well, what exactly are these people bringing to us, apart from burdening our already collapsed system, which requires coherent and comprehensive responses? It says here, this is the UN Migration Compact, migration contributes to positive development outcomes, does it? Oh, that's all right then. So they're all going to help us. That's great news. To positive development outcomes and to realising the goals of the Agenda 2030 for sustainable development. Yes, yes, yes. How many times can we say that in one paragraph? Well, we've already had sustainable four times. Let's see what else it says. Migration contributes to positive development outcomes. Oh, that's what I said. And to realising the goals of the agenda, the Global Compact aims to leverage the potential of migration for the achievement of all sustainable development goals. You mean they're all going to get vaccinated? Because that's really what most of it's about. As well as the impact this achievement will have on migration in the future. Now, there's about 20-odd pages of gobbledygook there, but I'm going to bring in our guest now, Chris Powis from Hartford. How are you, Chris?
Oh, hello, Mark. Fine, thanks, and I hope you're okay, and our listeners are okay as well. And good afternoon to everybody.
Yes, good afternoon indeed. It's good evening in the UK, and we are basically facing a rather autumnal evening. It's only mid-August, and yes, the sun is getting further away. The sky is losing some of its light. And we're going to talk about people in rubber dinghies, aren't we, Chris? So let's talk about people in rubber dinghies crossing the channel. What do you know about this?
Well, these people coming across in rubber dinghies, of course, if you want to go from France to Britain, you've got to self-isolate for 14 days now. But it's okay if you get a rubber dinghy and you're from a war-torn, so they say, area, and you're an asylum seeker. You can just come straight across and you're welcome. And you actually get sent to a lovely four-star hotel. Isn't that lovely?
Great. I'm going to get myself a rubber dinghy, Chris. I'm going to arrive in Dover and I want my four-star hotel. Because you know what it is about this, Chris? They're saying that a lot of these hotels are now fully booked. In fact, the right-wing extremist, you know, Nigel Farage, he's actually been going round to some of these hotels and he's been finding out that they're fully booked. Even he can't get in.
I know. So I'm actually thinking, I bet you, a group of us could actually go to France, get a rubber dinghy, and then come back in again to Britain, and we'll have a lovely couple of weeks' holiday, won't we, free of charge?
Chris, that's exactly what I was talking about. I think it's a great idea. But, you know, those hotels are a bit depressing, aren't they, those travel lodge-type hotels? The swimming pool, not necessarily a gym, but a swimming pool, definitely.
Yeah. Well, actually, when you look at the numbers, now, I'm going to throw a few... I've been doing a little bit of digging around here. I'm going to throw a few statistics and numbers at our... audience.
Okay.
Now, apparently, excuse me a minute, I'm just having to fiddle around here. Right. Now, apparently, Britain had in 2019 up to September 2019, 34,354 asylum people seeking asylum, okay?
Yes.
Their cases, right? So remember that figure, 34,354. Now, Britain, it can fit into the state of Texas 2.8 times, okay? Now, do you know how many people seeked asylum in United States of America in 2017?
I have a feeling you're going to tell us, Chris.
It's 20,000. 232. That's the whole of the United States. Now, can you imagine Texas? There we've got Britain is Texas is two and a half times the size of Britain. Now, can you imagine 90,000? So I'm scaling that up, okay, 30,000, three times, 30,000 people seeking asylum in the state of Texas. And remember, Britain is the third of the size of Texas, and we're handling 34,000. I think that figure has gone up now. It's absolutely unbelievable. And when you look around, for instance, our roads are clogged, and it's really the Kaldenhove-Kalergi plan.
Yes, along with the UN Migration Compact, I thought I'd read a bit of that out. It wasn't for nothing I read that out, dear listener. But yes, you're absolutely right, and that was the idea, to bring down the Western democracies. This is the whole aim of sustainable development. And it's not very sustainable, though, is it, Chris? Is this sustainable, do you think?
Well, no, it's not sustainable, because you notice that the asylum seekers that are coming in are actually what they are. They're single chaps. They're not families. Very few families coming in. You know, it's really quite it's quite terrible. But also, if you go on to now, where are we? There's a website called all the W's westernspring.co.uk. So if your listeners could get their pencils and papers out, it's westernspring.co.uk. And
yes,
the Kaldenhove-Kalergi plan, the genocide of the peoples of Europe. And it's not only the peoples of Europe, but it's the peoples of the United States of America as well. So that's quite interesting. And if you go on to that, Kaldenhove-Kalergi, he wrote a book in the 1920s about how he wants Europe, the European race, to be completely eradicated. What a nice gent.
Well, what he wanted really was the mixing of the races, because he was mixed race, wasn't he? I think his mother was Chinese. Was his mother Chinese? Or, yeah, I think so, yeah.
And his father was, I believe, Austrian. So he was a mixed race. His father was apparently anti-Semitic, and he and apparently Kaldenhove-Kalergi himself was the opposite way around. He liked people of shall we say a religion that we're not allowed to criticize. So
you mean the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Sorry?
Do you mean the Jehovah's Witnesses? Before we carry on, Chris, I've got a little joke for you. What's the difference between a Millwall supporter? Now, we're talking to American people, aren't we? It's not, they're not going to get it. Yeah, Millwall is a football club in the sort of South London, which has a bit of a reputation. But what's the difference, Chris, between a Millwall supporter and a Jehovah's Witness? A Millwall supporter turns up on your doorstep and tells you to F off. Hardly worth it, but I think we need a bit of light relief here and there, don't we, Chris?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's a good thing about this fake-demic. At least you don't get, I haven't had Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on my door. They seem to have kept away. I think they're frightened of
That's because, haven't we got this yet? We're in an apocalypse. This is what they were waiting for. They're self-isolating, aren't they?
That's right. They're at apocalypse parties.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
UN Migration Compact and migrants arriving in rubber dinghies to the UK. And of course, we've had Nigel Farage, who was the leader of the Brexit Party, and he's really a City of London asset, but he plays the kind of local who's outraged on behalf of other locals at what's happening. And he's been going around to some of these hotels, which all seem to be fully booked. And we have a real problem in a lot of our coastal towns in the UK. The coastal towns, I wanted to get onto this because this is a big part of what they're trying to do with sustainable development, trying to get people away from the coast and into the cities. So our seaside resorts have been on the decline for years. We have some that are very upmarket, which are full of people who basically migrated from London. But if you go onto the Kent and Sussex coast or go down to Bournemouth, you'll find that a lot of these places are very run down. And of course, they were the places where people used to retire to. And of course, according to the technocrats, they don't want people to get old enough to retire. They want to kill them off beforehand. So the seaside resorts are emptying out and have been for quite some time. For instance, I mean, if you go up to the north of England, go to Blackpool, it's horrendous up there. That used to be sort of the golden nugget of the north. You know, it was the Las Vegas of the northwest. You know, I might be over-exaggerating a bit here, but it had some flashing lights and casinos and slot machines, and it had a pleasure beach and some pubs. You get the idea, don't you? People used to go on holiday there. Apparently people from Scotland still do. I don't know why, but maybe it's kind of nearer to them than it is to most other people because it's right up in the northwest. But when you go to these places, you can see the decline, and the decline is very depressing. And when you've got these migrants in hostels there, you've kind of lost the whole of what used to be the country. And I think you were going to get onto this, weren't you, Chris, this sort of cultural destruction. They call it cultural appropriation as well, don't they?
Well, that's right. Now, let's look at, again, more statistics. The birth count, the European birth count, has been dropping since the First World War, and they don't really know why. And they knew about this in the 1930s. The real fact of the matter is we're not having enough children. And the birth count, I think it's 1.3 per woman, and it should be 2.5 children per. I don't know how you have a 0.5.
It's a great point, Chris. I'll tell you why. Because if you listen to what people are saying, those people of a more programmable persuasion, not, of course, the listeners to RBN, but if you overhear what these people say, they constantly repeat that there are too many people in the world and it's good that people are dying off. Well, they're talking about themselves because not everybody is dying out, but generally, populations are in decline. So this is a huge lie. And of course, we know what it's all about. It's all about population reduction. And my point really about these seaside places is that most of them now are kind of unrecognizable. You go to these places and they're sort of, you know, like you'd go to these places and look at the Victorian kind of architecture, and you just know that these places have been these sort of traditional holiday resorts for so long, and they're dead. They're not dying anymore, are they, Chris? They're dead.
That's right. They're completely dead. I mean, there used to be an old joke saying that you could smell the sea air on a Thursday afternoon when the burger bars are closed. But really, when you go there, you walk along, and it's as a kind of cultural change, total cultural change. I mean, I remember as a child, the local seaside resort was a place called Southend-on-Sea. And it was, wow, a big thing to go to Southend-on-Sea. It was about 40 miles away. And my dad used to take me there, and my sister and my mum and that in the car. And, of course, it's a big event. But you go there now, it's a completely different place. And what these globalists don't realise is that, I mean, I'm not being racial here. I like people from anywhere in the world. But people have different... culture is culture. We have different cultures, and people should be proud of their culture. You don't destroy it. So what they're doing, they're saying, okay, we'll move most of Africa and the Middle East into Europe because of these fake wars. And so we're getting Europe that's being full up, so we can actually push the lie that we are actually overpopulated and we need to cull the population, which is complete and utter nonsense. We're not overpopulated. And we're not becoming overpopulated because the birth count continues to reduce. And it is estimated, I think it's about 300 or 400 years' time, we will be near on the edge of extinction. It's literally because we're not having enough children. And now that's not the case
in Africa. Right. Yeah, we are. Another break. It's going on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Shh. so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Having an interesting little chat today, and we're throwing in a few different subjects. We've had migration, technocracy, and we're going to have a bit of something else in a minute. But first of all, we've got Mer in Wisconsin. Are you there, Mer?
Yeah, hi, Mark, Chris. Hey, what? I just want to put a little finer edge here on Kalergi, because I always wondered, you know, his mother was Japanese, by the way, and apparently the Austro-Hungarian father wasn't anti-Semitic. According to Ooh Wiki, I dropped the J. Okay, so it's just Ooh Wiki. Okay.
Yeah.
They don't like their J's used. Anyhow, he married when he was considered not really of age yet, so like about 21, a 14-year-older Ida Roland, a Jewish divorcee actress and very ugly, as I see by the picture here. So it wasn't until after that that this pan-European stuff really got kicked off. You know, so she was a big influence on that. And the tribe, as usual. I just want to put that in there, because I always wondered, and I did a little research, and I'm like, wait a minute, this cat's too young to be, you know, what's going on here? So his money and his position, and his Japanese mother kind of disowned him because, you know, actors were considered beggars on the riverbank, and probably about right. But this Ida, she's creepy. Ugh. There's a picture of her with Mann in Berlin, and they were basically perverting Germany. Yeah, they were part of the perversion of Germany. See, that's the thing, too, with Germany. People try to start with World War II and Hitler, you know, and the reason they do that, they don't want you to think about interest-free, usury-free for 10 years, where the people just cooperated and used the paper for exchange for mental and physical labor. But the Jews bragged about beating them down in World War One. So anyway, I just want to throw that in there about Roland. So Ida Roland.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So I'm forgetting quite a lot of things. Yes, Chinese, Japanese, they're very different really, aren't they? Completely different, in fact. Yes, I think all this research is getting to me. I do a lot of research. And oh, another thing I wanted to mention to the dear listener. Fridays at 3:30 p.m. Central Time. Join us on Skype if you're not listening to RBN. We do a show on Friday. You can always catch up with it on YouTube while we're still there, because it will be there when you look for it on the Windows on the World YouTube channel. Just a couple of things there, including the show on Sunday, which is at 3:30 p.m. And also, it's there in the archive straight after. So check the archives at Windows on the World, because there is some amazing research on there. In fact, I've done so many shows, I've forgotten how good they were. I'm going to give you a quote now. This is all about social engineering. Willis Harmon, Director of Policy Research at Stanford Research Institute. This was a long time ago, but listen to this. Materialism is the philosophical base of the old left. Of course, that's communism, right? Marxism and all that. Spirituality will be the role for the new left, a matrix of linked beliefs. We are invisibly joined to each other. Should these new coalitions prevail, Harmon said, if some sort of transcendental premise dominate the culture, the result would be a social and historical phenomenon as great and pervasive as the Protestant Reformation. And that is, boys and girls, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Quite different from the Protestant Reformation. And in a way, a lot less intelligible to most people, because they think that we're in the middle of a pandemic, where in actual fact, we're in the middle of a global reset. And that's what this show is really about today. And talking about this to members of the public is pretty much impossible. So, Chris, I'm going to ask you now, how many people do you talk to about the Great Reset? Now, be honest.
Well, most people around where I live think I'm a conspiracy theorist or a complete and utter raving nutcase. So I think the answer is only amongst, shall we say, people that have awoken and have done their own research, and people like yourself. Because if you start to say things like that to people, they go, huh? Well, I think you've got to sort of give people little snippets and act like a signpost and let them find out for themselves. I mean, for example, a good place to start is on BitChute. You won't find this on YouTube. Europa, the Last Battle. And I'm pretty sure most of the listeners of this station know the film Europa, the Last Battle. Well worth tuning into. And that tells you exactly what's going on. And it's quite interesting what our caller was talking about with Germany. Because if you read between the lines, if you see the film Cabaret, for example, that's loosely based on Germany, but before the war. But shall we say, from a very, very biased perspective, and I won't say any more than that, but I think our listeners know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, because life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, etc. I can't remember the rest of the words now. I'm having this kind of blank day today. And it's been quite interesting because the last few days I've done so much research. I think my brain is kind of overtired, but I've been reading all about the precursors to what's going on now, because I've been studying this sustainable development path and the new age and all of the drivers of global governance for so long that it's all coming together now. And isn't it great, Chris, when a plan comes together? Well, obviously not for us.
Well, also, I like all these new... it's exactly what Yuri Bezmenov said. He said there's going to be loads and loads of fake organisations and weird things. And he was telling me about one that I actually heard it this morning. There's a new one called Mums for Lungs.
Should I just introduce this and frame it for the listener?
Oh, please do.
In Britain and, of course, the rest of the world, the sustainable development programs of the UN are creating smart cities. They're also creating walkable cities and cities where people are on bikes. Now, if you look at all the protesters from, say, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, how do they get about? Most of them are on bikes, aren't they? It's only those extreme far-right people who drive now, you see. So basically, what they want to do is rid every borough of the evil motor car. Now, this started about 10 years ago in earnest. And, of course, we've got this ultra-low emission zone in London now, which goes right out almost as far as the M25. So if your car's older than about 10 years old, then you can't go into London. And, of course, this put lots of van drivers and small businesses under huge pressure. People I knew had vans, they go, I've only just bought this van, you know, I paid like $3,000 or $4,000 for it, didn't have a lot of money. Now I've got to pay another $1,500 to get it roadworthy, convert it, or buy a new van. And then you get the lobbying groups. So bearing in mind that London is probably now one of the cleanest cities in the world, and I'm not exaggerating here, walk through central London, which I do quite a lot, there is no pollution to be seen. We've got a lot of electric vehicles, a lot more electric vehicles now, and our buses are these hybrids. And there's very few polluting vehicles because you can't have a polluting vehicle in London. In fact, most people can't afford to drive in London. However, all of this started with pressure groups. So what they did is they brought the change agents into the local areas, the sustainable development trained puppets who were going to say that cars are selfish and you've got to stop making these short journeys. Well, of course, that's ironic, isn't it? Because it was never about short journeys. Bikes are for short journeys. Electric cars are for short journeys. But diesel and petrol cars are for long journeys, so everything's the wrong way around. In other words, they want to stop you going anywhere. So in a borough of northeast London, where I used to live, they started up this pressure group, one among many, called Mums for Lungs. Our children can't breathe. You know, well, why don't you go to Kathmandu and come back and you'll find that they can breathe here quite easily, you know, if they survive Kathmandu, that is. Now, the point of this is that these are engineered groups. So, in other words, they pop up in your area. You'll start seeing them. You say, what is this new pressure group appearing on Facebook? I've never heard of any of these people before. And that's where I'm going to let you take over, Chris. Tell us all about Mums for Lungs.
Well, I was listening to unfortunately, don't tell anybody. Keep this to yourself. But
I won't, Chris. Don't worry.
You know, I think I need to phone up one of these Agni Arts. I was accidentally listening to the BBC local radio the other morning. I know it's very sad, but
it's sad, Chris. It's there's an air of tragedy about it as well, and huge melancholy.
Yeah, carry on.
they either speak to a representative of Black Lives Matter. And they tell you exactly where they're going to protest. Now, let's face it, if you or I start up a protest group called Let's Ban Usury Tomorrow, I think we'd be lucky if we got about three people turn up, and the BBC wouldn't really want to know us. And they had a representative from Mums for Lungs saying, oh, well, I'm worried about my kids breathing in all this pollution, you know, it's terrible. It was marvellous during lockdown.
That's right, because that's the World Economic Forum model. So, in other words, COVID has been a driver of sustainable development. Well, what a coincidence, eh, Chris? Who would have thought that? Who would have thought it would be yet another beneficial crisis? And according to Klaus Schwab, we're going to have a lot of these crises, you know, and they're going to need a lot of useful idiots to tell us about it. And I think that's what you're talking about here, isn't it?
Well, that's right. There's one thing I'd like to add. I don't think our American listeners realise that if you drive into London now, you've got to pay about, $15-$20 to actually drive into London. That is the congestion charge. And there's a little story about that. Before the congestion charge was introduced, there was a neighbour of mine that was a policeman, and he used to work outside the Buckingham Palace. And they noticed that there was a load of engineers twiddling around with the traffic lights outside the Buckingham Palace, and there was a massive traffic problems, chaos. Then, the day before the congestion charge was introduced, the engineers were back again. And one of the coppers, or one of the cops, went over to the engineers and said, excuse me, what are you doing? And the bloke said, well, we was told that we got to alter the setting times to create a traffic jam before the congestion charge. Now we're altering it so that when the congestion charge comes in, they can say it's an overwhelming success because the traffic is flowing beautifully. Because the
that's exactly what happened. And I think, Chris, actually, just to add you right on a fair, one of your phrases, they actually call it rephasing, Chris. The correct term is rephasing the traffic lights. I hope you'll remember that for future interviews.
I love these new terms that they come out with. You know, it's always sustainable. Everything's sustainable.
Well, it's got to be resilient as well, Chris, and it's got to be vibrant.
That's right. Oh, when you the lowest, excuse my language, crap holes in London and the surrounds are always called a vibrant community.
I don't know anyone who lives in one though. Well, they actually started this where I used to live in London, and they said, we're bringing you vibrant communities. And I said, where? You know, there wasn't one in sight, really, because they used to be quite vibrant, you know. But when they build loads and loads of flats and they just bring in corporates and all the little shops go out of business, which is exactly what the World Economic Forum actually wants. Well, actually, in their latest document, they say they're empowering small businesses, but I can't quite see how. Have you ever seen them empowering small businesses, the World Economic Forum, Chris? Because I can't see that. Our local shopkeepers know nothing about the World Economic Forum, you know.
Well, actually, they want to empower local businesses where I live. There's two major roads that go through where I live. There's a major highway, shall we call it, and there's like a small sort of side road where there's lots of little old shops and quaint shops and small family businesses. And guess what they want to do? They want to make it the small road where there's all the family businesses, a 20 mile an hour cycleway so that cars can only do 20 miles per hour for about 10 miles. And I'm sure all the shop owners are going to be delighted by the trade that's not going to go past their shops and will go on the highway and won't go on the side road. And
that's exactly. How do you think Mums for Lungs fits into this, though, Chris? What is your conspiracy? Imagine you're going on BBC local radio. So, Chris, you've got this conspiracy theory that local mothers are actually worried about their own children are part of some kind of huge conspiracy against you. Can you explain this?
Well, you know, let's face it. I mean, people like George Soros and Soros and Bill Gates finance.
Okay.
So it's nothing to do with a conspiracy, is it?
Listen, you're anti-Semitic and you hate women and children.
Oh, and also, was it Elvis is actually lives on the moon and drives a taxi?
No, that's what the presenter says when he cuts you off. And I suppose you think Elvis lives on the dark side of the moon. He stays there. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Elvis works in Smallmart, doesn't he? On the delicatessens counter next to Roy Orbison.
What, Smallmart?
Walmart, that's it. Well, we don't have a Walmart over here, do we? We have Asda, that's owned by Walmart.
That's right. We do. And yes, these pressure groups are actually, they're not very successful, but they're given basically all of this publicity. And hardly anyone knows about them. I mean, there was lots of cycling lobby groups appeared in the borough that I used to live in. And what was really strange was the council actually put on a dinner for all these people in these cycling groups. And if you weren't part of a cycling group, you had to pay £175 to get in. Well, I would have paid £175 to get out. But, you know, I mean, it's quite incredible because they actually even awarded themselves, the council awarded themselves, one of their cycling groups that they'd set up, an award, a cycling award. I mean, it's just incredible how this is totally engineered. And this is the creepy side of it, because you realise that nothing that's happening around you is real at all. There is no real protest. All there is lobbying groups who basically have this vested interest because they've been trained to think that the World Bank and the IMF, of course, and the United Nations and the cabal are there to make the world a better place. But I kind of disagree with that, Chris, because I'm a conspiracy theorist. What about you?
Well, I'm a conspiracy theorist as well, because, you know, let's face it, governments do not run countries, or rule countries, rather. Usury scammers rule countries. Civil servants run countries, and the governments are just a sort of Mickey Mouse show to distract your attention away from the first two facts. And that's basically it. I mean, for example, now I'd be interested to know what your listeners think of this. Now, this is from a chap called Buttar. I don't know much about him, or Buttar.
Dr. Buttar.
That's it.
Okay. Yes, he's brought up a lot of videos on YouTube. He's had some taken down, and he's been covering the COVID crisis in quite some detail. Yes.
Now, I don't know much about him, okay? Now, it would be wrong for me to give any information, my view about Donald Trump, because I'm not an American. I don't live in America, so I don't know. But my attitude
is... We're going to have to wait till after the break, Chris. So we've been talking about Trump, and we've been talking about conspiracies, so we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Winners on the World. I'm with Chris Powers today. Well, Chris is in Hertfordshire and I'm in Kent, so we're kind of with each other, but we're in the interconnected new global paradigm. Yes, this is the Windows on the World Global Vision Institute. And today we're talking about how to create consensus. Yes, that's what we're talking about, actually. We're talking about these interconnected organisations, along with other things, of course, which are controlling the narrative of public opinion, global to local. And I do know quite a bit about this, from Occupy to Extinction Rebellion, Black Lives Matter to Antifa. I've studied it all in great detail, but we've only got 4 minutes left. So, Chris, what did you have to say about controlled opposition groups, such as the one we were talking about, Mums for Lungs?
Well, to sum it all up, because we've only got a couple of minutes, is capitalism, communism, is a natural progression of capitalism if it's not controlled. And who is behind this? It's the money people who are trying to control things, because what they're trying to do is bring in, with this communitarianism, which is communism, a communist society, because it suits them, because they've knocked out all the opposition, haven't they?
And this is The whole point of communism is that it enables the state. It gives more power back to the state. That's the whole point of it. That's the kind of bit that Karl Marx missed as he was kind of stroking his beard and congratulating himself, was basically what he was doing was giving power back to the very people who were oppressing the proletariat in the first place. But he was too thick to realise it, because what he wanted to do was conceptualise. And he had all these kind of intellectual battles, and now he's buried Well, there's a mausoleum to him in Highgate Cemetery, which they used to use for a lot of British horror films. And it was actually vandalised, his tomb, a while ago. And in my view, it should be removed. But he's a hero of the people of Hampstead, because the people of Hampstead are the fake lefties who are so entitled they probably live in a pedestrianised area and advocate groups like Mums for Lungs.
And they probably drive a Volvo car that's battery powered.
And you probably think that Elvis lives on the dark side of the moon, don't you?
I do. No, he doesn't. He works in Walmart.
Well, I think the funniest one I had, Chris, was when we went down to Wales. I said, quite frankly, Mark Windows' conspiracy theories are about as likely as alien remains being found at Roswell. Well, according to the high witnesses, they were, weren't they? Do you know what I mean? So that's not a very good one. Or Elvis being found alive and well, I think he said, in somewhere like Spain or something. But the point is that is remotely possible anyway, isn't it? I mean, he'd be very old now, but you're not really ridiculing me there, you know, because alien remains could have been found at Roswell, you know.
That a lot of these conspiracy theories are actually pumped out by the CIA to, shall we say, make anybody that's woken up and has done their research look a complete and utter idiot, because they'd always link you to something stupid.
Happened to me in the past, and people have come up to me and said, "Oh, would you do this story?" And I take a look at it and go, "What story? I mean, are you joking?" You know, and they try and attach you to something, and when you don't do it, then, of course, you're a shill and you work for the other side. Oh, we've run out of time. Mark Windows here from winnersontheworld.net. Join us on Thursday, the same time, the same place. Thanks to all the listeners. See you soon. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Mark.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.